Well, praise the Lord. I finally made it. I praise God for His provision through the years. He's provided in many different ways, and it's been amazing to see what He has done through the 4.5 years that I've been here. I praise the Lord for this place. I'm glad God called me here. Thanks to the teachers here and the students here, I can say with confidence that God is more real to me today than He's ever been. And I thank the Lord for this opportunity. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Too often I have sat in these pews getting very little out of the preaching because my mind has been focused on other things, on problems in my life, and I miss out on blessings God has for me through that preaching. And it's because I have my eyes focused on myself rather than on God. If you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to be successful and have the joy and blessing of God in your life, you need to get your eyes off yourself and onto God. You know, I like sitting by people that fall asleep. And I don't mean that it's good that they fall asleep. I mean, I like to sit there and be accountable for them. You know, I see them start to doze off. Wake up! And it keeps me awake. Is why I like to sit by them. You know, when I am accountable for somebody else, it keeps me right. And I think if we get our eyes off of ourselves onto other people and onto God first and foremost, that it'll keep us right. Let's read in Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. God has a specific purpose and will for each and every person. But so many people miss out on that because they have their attention on other things rather than God. We need to look to God for success in the measure of it, instead of looking to other people and other things and trying to accumulate gain in our own lives and to impress people. We need to look to God. In this passage, we'll see a formula for success. We will see that we need God's permission, we need God's power, we need God's courage, and we need God's restoration. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that You would help me to present Your word clearly and understandably. Lord, that we may trust in You for success and that we may give You glory with our lives. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, we look at God's permission. Look in verse 28. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. Now the disciples saw Jesus coming toward the ship, walking on the water. And they were afraid, I would guess, that they did not recognize that as Jesus. And they thought it was a spirit or a ghost. And so they were scared and they were crying out for fear. And when Jesus saw that they were afraid, He said, Don't be afraid, be of good courage. "It is I." And when Peter acknowledged that he was claiming to be Jesus, he said, "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee." And see, Peter acknowledged that he couldn't come to Jesus on his own power. He couldn't just jump out of the ship right away and go to Jesus. He knew that it wasn't an ordinary thing to walk on water. Peter also acknowledged that he couldn't do it by the power of any other person. He could only do it by the power and will of Jesus Christ. And so he asked the Lord Jesus that if he could come unto him on the water. But first of all, we see what his motivation was. His motivation was to go to Jesus, to be with Jesus. And I think that any time that we look for the will of God in our lives, our motivation ought to be with Jesus. If we look in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22, we see that Paul's motivation for living was that Christ would be magnified in his flesh. The fruit of his labor was not things that men would see as success, but the fruit of his labor was that Christ would be magnified in his flesh. And when I was trying to decide on what school to go to, I had a very difficult time. There was so many Bible colleges to choose from. You know, how could you possibly choose which one was the best when you hardly even heard a Bible college existed before? And, you know, I visited a couple campuses, and I remember visiting Ambassador, and I remember it being completely different than anything I'd ever seen before. And to be honest with you, I wanted to leave when I was here. But when I was gone, I wanted to be back here. And I went back to where I was living in a godly environment, and I realized what I was missing. And even though I still struggled choosing a school, the thing that motivated me the most was that deep in my heart, I believed that this was where I would be closer to Jesus. This is where I would grow the most spiritually. And that's what brought me here. And I believe that was the right choice to this day. And I think when we try to decide the will of God, we must be motivated to go to Jesus. Let's look in James chapter 4, and verse 13 through 15. In verse 13 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. For whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away." And so many Christians, claiming to be seeking the will of God, try to find their direction in life, motivated by material gain, and by achieving glory for themselves, getting a good reputation, getting a lot of wealth, impressing a lot of people. But when you get those things, what are you going to do with it? What purpose is it going to serve? If your life is only a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away, what point is it to have your motivation to get gain for yourself? I guess, you know, you could die with it. That's not too exciting. But you see, we need to seek out the will of God for our lives, because that's what's going to last. That's what's going to matter. And that's the only thing that's not going to die. We must live according to His will. In verse 15 in James chapter 4, it says, whereas you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live, and we will do this or that. You see, God does not tell us what to do and then send us out on our own to figure it out. He didn't say to Peter, "Peter, come on over to me. Just jump out of the boat. Don't worry about the storm. Don't worry about the wind or the waves. You'll figure out a way to make it. If anybody can do it, you can." That's not what Jesus told Peter. Peter had to trust in the power of God that he could walk on the water to go to Jesus. Let's look in verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. We see, first of all, that Jesus had power to make himself walk on water. We look in verse 29 through 30, and we see that Jesus also had power to make others walk on water, if it was his will. And if we don't trust in God's power, we ultimately are left to trust in our own power. Because we can't have somebody else do what we ought to do. And so we can't trust in somebody else's power to accomplish the will of God for us. And we can't trust in our own power, because if we trust in our own power, we're going to get discouraged. Because when we trust in ourselves, our problems seem a whole lot bigger. And what happens is we get discouraged, and when we get discouraged, we start to doubt God's will for us in the first place. Which is the same thing that led Adam and Eve into sin in Genesis chapter 3. They doubted God's word. They doubted what God's will was. And they turned to themselves. They focused on their own problems rather than God, and they tried to hide from God. You know, sometimes we realize what God wants us to do, and then we leave him behind as if we don't need him anymore. We say, thank you, God, for showing me your will for my life. And we trust in our own power. We leave him behind. And we end up with this little engine that could mentality, looking to get up the hill, and we're this train going, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And we're just not making it. Because we can't make it without God. And if we look to God to accomplish his will, and we look to trust in his power, we can turn that I think I can to I know I can. Because I know this is what God wants for me. So we need to trust in his power. Because only God can make us able. But we must have God's permission for what we do in our lives. We must live according to his will to have his power. We need to find his will, and we need to trust in his power, and we need the courage to put his power into action. You know, I mean, anytime I think of courage, I think of David, who, when no one else would, stood up to Goliath, because he saw a purpose and he saw a cause, and he trusted in the power of God to give him victory, to give him success. I think we need to have that courage that David had. You see, David didn't go up to his buddy and slap on a helmet and give him a sword and say, go ahead, God will give you the power. David went himself. David had courage, and he put God's power into action. And we see this command in Joshua chapter 1. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If you want to be encouraged, if you want to have courage, if you're feeling weak and scared, get to know this book. Get into the Bible, because it will encourage you. It will strengthen you. It will get you closer to Jesus. And to have courage, we need to be close to Jesus. While we need God's courage to put his power into action and to accomplish his will, sometimes we fail. But God is always there to restore us. There's going to be times where you fall. if you haven't fallen already. Even though we've been saved and God has forgiven us our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, there's going to be times where we mess up. And we need to know that God is there to lift us back up. You know, I can go walk on a tightrope and I can have confidence that I can do it. But if I don't know what's going to happen when I fall, it can cause a lot of fear. It can cause me not to want to go do it. I can walk on there and I can say, I'm doing it. And then I get halfway through and I start looking around and I start feeling a little unbalanced. And I start fearing, what's going to happen if I fall? Am I going to die? What would happen? But when we know that if I fall, God is going to catch me and put me back up there, it gives me encouragement to keep going. And sometimes we learn that when we fall, when Jesus catches us. God offers help and forgiveness. If God cared so much for those people that were his enemies to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and shed his blood for them, how much more is he going to care about his children? And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we fall out of our relationship with God, we can get right back in it by confessing our sins, turning our eyes back to him. And he will restore us. And he offers help. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will also with the temptation provide a way of escape. So God doesn't leave you on your own. God will restore you. God will give you the strength. Just turn your eyes to him and trust in him. Your faith will be strengthened. We look in John chapter 11, we see in verse 35 the passage where Jesus wept. And the background behind where Jesus wept, the scenario surrounding that is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. We see when Jesus came to do just that, Mary fell down at his feet weeping. And the Jews with her weeping. And Mary came to Jesus saying, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You know, how often do we go through problems and we say, Lord, if only you were here, this wouldn't have happened. Jesus is always there. Jesus always knows what's going on. And Jesus is never late. And I think about why Jesus wept. Because it said he groaned within himself. Because as he stands there and he's there to do a great miracle to show them that he's the Son of God and he's done many great things already. And they're there weeping because they think there's nothing he can do now. I think Lazarus is gone. Nothing can be done. And how many times do we think that our problems are too great for God to solve? And how many times do we think that we've fallen so far that God can't help us now? That God can't use us now? And who are you to decide anyways? You're not your own. Let God decide what to do with you. Jesus is always there to restore our faith. And when we lose faith and we get back to Jesus, most of the time our faith is going to be much stronger than it ever was before. You know, I wonder when Peter's faith was stronger. When Peter realized how great the miracle was of walking on water. When he came out of the boat onto the water or when he was pulled out from under the water onto the water. God's miracles always appear great in a great crisis state, but that doesn't mean that any other time they're not as great. That we don't have to go through a crisis state in order to experience the greatness of God's power. We see success can only be measured by our relationship with God, by being close with Jesus. And if we want to succeed, we must put our hope and trust in Jesus Christ. It is Him that will give us direction. It is Him that will give us purpose and power. It's Him that gives us any ability to accomplish His will. It may be for someone here today that stepping out of the boat and walking on the water to simply put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have not done so, you're going to be held accountable for your sins. And you're going to have to suffer the punishment of an eternal hell. And this is not God's will. Jesus Christ loved you so much that He went to the cross, suffered, and shed His blood so that your sins could be forgiven. He paid the punishment. Don't make it for nothing by not accepting that. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you know what God's will is for you? Are you trusting in His will for your life, or are you seeking out your own will? If you know what God's will is, are you trusting in His power to accomplish it? Do you have the courage to put that power into action? Are you going to step forward and trust in God's power? And if you've fallen, if you've taken your eyes off Jesus, you can turn right back to Him and He'll give you the same power that He would before. Keep your eyes on Him and then you'll experience success in God's eyes. Thank you.